Welcome to the Hot Lava Podcast. I'm Kevin Acey, Potter's beat writer for the Union Tribune. It's my boss here, Jay Posner, sports editor of the Union Tribune. This is our second live broadcast, Jay. Summer camp has started. Honestly, I'm not being sarcastic. It's awesome. It really is. I need to be doing my job and to be watching a semblance of baseball.
So what makes it awesome? Tell us first about, I guess, the process of how this all works. I mean, you show up every day at Petco and what happens? You park your car and then what? Do they do anything at the parking lot or not until you get over to the ballpark?
No, have a parking pass across the street. Everyone knows the Lexus lot there. Walk around to security. That's a new entrance for us. Get the temperature thing there on the forehead. Okay. Answer questions about, 74 symptoms that could cover many different maladies, I've realized. you answer those and you go in. It is a lonely place. There's a path that you have to follow. Most days it's Bob Scanlon and three PR people. And we watch a couple hours of batting practice and there's always a couple interesting things and it's good to see the guys down there and to see them back in. For me, the exciting part, the really exciting part is going out to park at the park afterward and watching the intra-squad games. And just like I said, being able to see a semblance of baseball.
So when you go out there, are you have like a little beach chair and a blanket and a cooler and, a six pack or what exactly are you doing out there in the park? And is anybody else out there?
It's going to evolve for me. It involves a towel, my binoculars, my notebook. I suppose I can bring my computer out there sometimes because I have about an hour where I sit and I write in my car. I mean, this is the new thing we're doing now. Fortunately, technology has caught up. I remember 20 years ago when I had to write in my car and the battery would run out on my old Radio Shack in 5 minutes. So fortunately, technology has caught up that we can do it. Yeah. For me, Jay, I've embraced it. I mean, look, it's a pain in the butt, but it's doing my job and I'm very grateful for it. And it's a lot of fun. There are other people out there. They've got some brews and members of some players out there. And, not as many people as you would think. I think the park closes at dusk, which is late now. You're going to get the entire intra-squad game in. I'm not inviting everybody. I'm just saying.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think you want to give away all your secrets. People want to be able to sign in to the website and read what you have to say about all that. So tell us some of the things that you've seen out there. What's impressed you? What's not impressed you so far? I know yesterday was Chris Paddock and Mackenzie Gore both pitching. What did you see from those guys? And what else have you seen both day and dusk in terms of the team so far?
So here's my first time giving the caveat that is very important to me. First time in 2020, which is I'm not a coach or a scout, but a lot of baseball. And I will tell you that Mackenzie Gore, he can get guys out in the big leagues. Now, his location is not what it needs to be on a consistent basis. He had a really solid first inning yesterday, even though Eric Hosmer got a double off him. He left the pitch up and Eric hit it. He struggles just like he did in the spring with the consistency. And that's something that will come. A guy who I don't know since he came out of the womb has struggled with location is Chris Paddock. Last night, not as sharp as usual, but that's the thing about Chris Paddock. When you go, hey, he's not as sharp as usual, he's still throwing strikes, throwing that fastball by people. He's got a new pitch, by the way. I'd heard about it. I saw it last night. It's called a cutter, or that's what Chris calls it. Okay. I think it's my recap. I think that pitch is, something we got to work on for 3 months. That's cool that you knew that Chris was going to evolve. Last year, he was basically a two-pitch pitcher with a show-me curve. This year, the curve was better in spring. It was good last night. He's maybe a three-pitch pitcher with a show-me cutter. So that's where Chris is at. I know people, aren't going to believe it till they see it, but Eric Hosmer looks good. Obviously, you can tell in workouts that he's working on the ball in the air and just embracing pull. And he's been hitting some bombs. Edward Olivares, I got to say, I don't know where he has a spot on this team at the start if Tommy Pham is healthy and all the other outfielders are healthy. But that guy can swing the bat. I'll tell you that. Josh Naylor can swing. Ty France. And really, what, we're 4 days in, and that's about. It's just so odd. There's going to be what, two preseason games, as right. if you gauge anything by preseason games anyway, as an observer. But this is just going to be very interesting. Like never before, it's like you really don't know about this team until the season starts.
Well, and that's the thing. It's July 7th. So they've been practicing for what? Today's the fifth day. There's 17 days to go until the season. You know, it's like trying to judge stuff off of spring training games, except probably not even that good.
Not even
as big a test as a spring training game. So you have to be careful what you see. But as you said, you put that caveat on your stories all the time about that. And I believe you'll have something on Eric Hosmer up later today. So that'll be interesting to read about what's going on. He's such a big part of this team and the ability for this team to have any success. I think guys like him and Will Myers and Machado as well, who you wrote about the other day. I mean, they need better from Manny Machado and Will Myers and Eric Hosmer if they're going to have any chance of contending, for a playoff spot this year.
I will say this too. In the two inter-squad games that I'm aware of that he played in, Will has like five hits. All right. Mm-hmm. And, he was tearing up spring training. Maybe I left him consciously, as much as I like Will. Maybe it was just, I left him out subconsciously. Cause it's like, I'm kind of tired. Like everyone else is talking about Will Myers. Let's see what happens in the season. But I was remiss to not say that Will is swinging the bat very well.
Well, I think you said to me once in a text message or email or something, you said Will always has a hot streak for, a month or two. The Padres just have to hope it comes during the month or two, this couple month period that they're playing. And, if he goes cold in month three, that it's not going to matter because we're not going to be playing anyway.
Well, speaking of nonsense, Jay, he's got to step up in October, man.
Yeah, well, okay. But speaking of not playing, there were some issues around baseball with testing. I've still seen some stuff today with other teams. The schedule came out yesterday, which we'll touch on in a minute. But we have speaking of caveats also, you have the big caveat here of if they wind up playing this season. And, when you hear things about the Nationals having testing problems and the A's and the Cardinals, and I think the Phillies had a guy who couldn't practice for a couple of days because his test result disappeared. How much confidence should we have? And again, it's early, but how much confidence should we have that there is going to be a testing system and protocol that works well enough where this can even be pulled off, as if we can predict the future, 2.5 weeks from now, even healthy.
And as if any of us have ever done this now.
Right.
It's inexcusable what happened, but it's also somewhat understandable. And I think that my answer to your question is we need to be confident. If you want there to be a season, that it's better that this happened now, because if this happens during the season, the season could well be over, like boom, like that. So the fact that the MLBPA and Major League Baseball are trying to find a backup or a secondary testing site. The fact that this lab, obviously learned what it means to have to process thousands of tests in that short of a time and how important it is. The fact that MLB learned that their players and some of their management is not going to stand for it. So I think that is if there's a blessing in disguise, and that's how a few people put it yesterday, a few of the more level-headed. I thought his explanation, and again, it's inexcusable, but I thought their explanation was plausible and okay. We wish someone had noticed before it was a holiday weekend and FedEx was, and a carrier was not going to be working as well, but they didn't. Also, and I want to say this, and I was told this before, there's two things that two, three people around the league, when I was talking to them last week, before this all started, they talked about how well prepared the Padres were. And they talked about hey, they're in San Diego. These guys are going to have a 2-month head start on everybody. They've had 30 players there. That's a little exaggeration by those people, but that was their impression, that the Padres players and coaching staff had been, you know, far ahead of everybody else. And then they referred to AJ Preller, and I'm going to throw in Josh Stein and Fred Ottman. And the preparation that they've done, I should probably throw in Mark Guglielmo, the Petco Park GM, that they had, the Padres had a plan, and they had all their staff tested by Monday. That meant only players on Tuesday and Wednesday, boom, ready to go Friday. The Nationals, I believe, I heard the A's, and then the Nationals, I believe they acknowledged it. They tested everyone at the end of the week. And now that's not to say it should have, there was obviously a problem then between there and the lab, but you know, I think Padres pulled this off pretty well.
Yeah. I mean, I think the one thing I'd say is it is inexcusable for baseball not to have considered the 4th of July. Now I guess there's no other, the only other holiday during this season would be Labor Day. So hopefully somebody will make some plans on that. I got a couple of questions I want to get to real quick that people have sent in. One is for you, and I think I know the answer to this, but I'll let you do it. How often do you get tested as a member of the media?
I do not, but that's okay because I will come within 100 feet, at least allow on site. I will not come within 100 feet of a member of the organization who could then pass it to a player. That's already happened, but I'm being extremely careful. As you know, I got a grandbaby, happens to be with us right now. I got a job that I'm very excited about, but I am nothing more that MLB prescribes than that temperature check every day. And I have to wear my mask the entire time.
Right. And then another question from Joe Campbell. Do you see the Padres making any major transactions, says before or during the season? I mean, I suppose anything is possible, but do you get a sense at all that, I mean, they made the one trade for Mateo with the A's, but do you get a sense at all that there's going to be a lot of trades during this shortened season or, you know, until the deadline, or not very many at all?
I get the sense that there's not. Now that said, AJ Preller, right? I think anybody knows what that means, but there's a lot of things that come into consideration. Take Will Myers, for example. You know, you're not moving him now. You just aren't. And when you think of guys under contract and how owners, whether you buy into what or not, owners are talking about how difficult 2021 is going to be. You're not going to take on a big contract. Difficulty in evaluating where a player's at, an older player particular, what are you going to get? Are you renting a guy this year? And then what are you going to get next year? There's so much unknown that trades like Jorge Mateo, sure. And I do think there's some teams that independent league is probably going to come into play. You know, the Padres only put really 42 players into their player pool when you consider the prospects that they don't intend to be on their major league team this year.
Right.
There could be some deals and there could be some signings that come on to fill your roster at certain times. But in terms of any major deals, gosh, especially when you get to the trade deadline, it's not a 2-month rental anymore. It's a 1-month rental for this season. You know, I guess if you feel like you're all in, right? Like you've already got at that point and you're like, we're doing it. We're going to get Mookie. But I just, you know, and the Dodgers are 30 games out already and they want to get, no, I don't see it.
So speaking of, excuse me. So speaking of people being all in, a fast start, obviously would be beneficial. Padres schedule came out yesterday. Again, the caveat, if there's a season, but we're going to proceed right now as though there is. First 23 games are against National League West opponents. Of course, 2/3 of the games are against them over the 60 games, but 23 to start with, and 17 against the teams that I think most people would consider to be the two best teams in the division. The Dodgers, 7 games against the Dodgers, 10 games the entire season series against Arizona in those first 23, and then the other 6 games, 3 against the Rockies, 3 against the Giants, are both on the road. That stood out to me. Any thoughts about that? I mean, you have to play those teams at some point, but you know, it's not going to be easy coming in and having to face Arizona and the Dodgers 17 out of 23 like that.
It accentuates what everyone was already saying. Got to have a quick start. So there's that. Mm-hmm. I don't know why the schedule was built this way. And I'm not going to, I mean, I'm going to ask questions, but I'm not going to like question this, team that had to put this schedule together so quickly and deal with all the logistics. But 29 games in the first 30 days.
Yeah.
That's incredible. When you look at it over the first 66 days of the season originally scheduled, the Padres were, I think, going to play, 59 games or something. And then from July 24th to September 27th, it was about the same. So it wasn't like, well, 60 games in 60 days, that's it's a little hyper, but it's not that crazy. That's what these guys do. The way the Padres schedule is constructed with the potential for injury and with the likelihood that guys will test positive and or have to sit out because they've come in contact with someone who tested positive or was symptomatic. That's crazy. There is going to be a lot of moving. And that's where I think, especially, that covers the whole time to where after 2 weeks, you're down to 28 players. All right. So you lop a pitcher or two off of your roster. And then after 28 days, you're down to 26 players on your roster. Mm-hmm. So it's going to get really interesting.
Yeah. I mean, they're going to be using that full roster, I'm sure. I mean, they have stretches of 13, 17, and 15 days without a day off. The first 55 days of the season, they play 52 games with only 3 days off. And then they have an 8-day stretch where they have 3 days off in September. So, it's like the football team getting the bye, really late in the season. It's not ideal. One thing that struck me that was ideal is the amount of travel is so much less, long flights. They only have 3 flights of more than 1,000 miles. One of them is a flight home from Texas. And then they have a round trip to Seattle, which is barely 1,000 miles from San Diego. So there's, you don't have the lot of the cross country travel that comes into it. And they only leave California once in the month of September. That's the trip to Seattle. So maybe that helps a little bit if it does come down to the last month and they do get through the first, 6 weeks or whatever of the season. At least they're playing, they're playing in California. There's only the one long trip. Maybe that helps a little bit. So maybe it helps you too. I don't know. You're making the same trips and you're not on any charters either.
I was not on any charters. I will say that, the whole purpose of that, by the way, was, what you can do with this virus is just limit the risk. And so limit the times the guys were on planes, limit the amount of time that they had to be there in that close proximity. And that's what that's about. Certainly, these guys are going to be as protected as any of us could possibly be. All right.
Right.
But they're going to these cities where, they don't have to go to Houston, and who knows what Houston's going to look like in a month,
but Texas. But they do go to Dallas, and who knows what that looks like. That is a break, by the way, only playing the Astros and the A's 3 times each.
Yeah. Get 6 at home against the Dodgers. There's all sorts of stuff. We love schedules. It's awesome. But when you look at this schedule, it makes you think about all the different things that could happen. I mean, we could say, oh, wow, the Padres went 10-13 or 9-14 in those first 23 games. And, oh, wow, it's not looking good. And you're halfway through the season or almost halfway through the season. And then a couple other teams get hit by the COVID and the Padres are healthy. I mean, things can change so quick when every game is 0.7, and when you're waiting for the other shoe to drop every single day. By the way, you've brought it up a couple times, the if that is out there, and it is valid. While I've chosen to go one day at a time and be like, all right, I'm covering a season, yay, because I'm like, oh, dang, what's going to happen? I thought Jace Tingler's answer about the schedule was fantastic. It was enough of not a cliche where he alluded to the fact that the schedule's out. We're going to have certain guys on our staff that are going to really dive into that and focus on it. The rest of us, We don't know if season's going to happen. We need to get ready for it. We need to focus on now. Everyone is aware that this thing might not happen.
And all we can do is send you out there every day and report on what's happening, right?
I'm grateful for it. I don't know. I think you know how much I've loved taking over this beat and all that. But this year in particular, it is fantastic. I told everybody watching that intro game through binoculars, out there at the park at the park, I felt so alive. I was watching inter-squad baseball. I don't know if that's sad or what, but it was fantastic.
Man, we're going to have to tie you down when it comes to July 24th. If we can just get to opening day, just think how excited you'll be at that point. So anyway, Kevin, it was always good to talk to you, and we will come back and do this next week. It will not be on Tuesday. That is a holiday in my house next week. So we will do it on either Monday or Wednesday. We'll see how things go. But we want to thank everyone for joining us, and we'll talk to you next week.
Thank you very much.